Chris, thank you so much. We're going to turn to God's word for a moment or two. We're still in the first 100 days of the new American presidency. And I think it was Roosevelt who coined that term many, many decades ago now, the first 100 days of the American presidency. It's a sort of a testing period, isn't it? You assess the effectiveness and the likely success of a new president during those first 100 days. Well, Mark chapter 1, if you had a title for that chapter in the Bible, I think it could be Jesus's first 100 days. The first 100 days of Jesus's ministry. Mark seems to present it that way. It's got a kind of bit of everything that comes up later in his book, kind of explored in more detail in the rest of the gospel account. But really, in chapter 1, it tells you everything you need to know about Jesus. By the end of the chapter, we know who Jesus is. We know what he's about. We've got enough information, really, to take that first 100 days type of assessment. And in this week's little bit of that story, the verses we're going to hear in a moment, after Jesus's successful start to his ministry in Capernaum, and with his fame starting to spread, we're going to see, first of all, before we have that reading, what the Judean news might have made of Jesus. Hello and welcome to Capernaum, where there's been quite the commotion overnight. Excuse me, sir. I'm from the Judean News. Can I ask what you're doing here?
Well, I'm waiting to be healed, isn't it?
Healed? Do you mind if I ask what of?
Well, I don't really know. Something-itis. But it's serious. I'm amazed I can stand.
Oh, dear. But why have you come to this house today? It's not a doctor's, is it?
No, but my friend came here yesterday, dragged by his brothers, and this new rabbi cured his fever just like that. He'd been sick for weeks, and he came running down our street looking like a new man.
So this is the rabbi's house?
No, this is Simon's place. His mother-in-law was really sick. But then this rabbi, Jesus, turned up, and suddenly she's serving hummus. Word got out, and my mate's brothers brought him straight round, along with everyone else who's been suffering.
And everyone was cured?
Well, that's what my mate said. Headaches, fevers, blindness, evil spirits, the lot, all healed.
So when are you hoping to get seen?
Well, I don't know. I got here in the early hours, but they'd already shut the door by then. I'm just waiting for them to reopen.
Hold on, I'm just getting a report in. What's that? Right. Apparently, Jesus has left the village. Yes, Jesus has left the village. Do we know where he's gone? Other villages. He said that's why he came. Okay, I'll wrap up here and we'll go and take a look.
So, he's not coming back here?
Apparently not. I've been told that Jesus says he's going to the other villages. And I quote, "This is why I have come."
Oh, right. Can you give me a lift?
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Thank you. very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
Well, another week in the life of coronavirus and lockdown. This week we mourned the death of Captain Sir Tom Moore. There he is in his younger days. Maybe you were out on your doorstep clapping. You'll remember, of course, we all know the story, don't we, that in preparation for his 100th birthday last April, he walked 100 laps of his garden with his walking frame. He raised, eventually, a staggering £33 million for national health charities. I think he kind of gripped the nation, really, with his humility, his cheerfulness, his resilience to complete what he had started. And it inspired people, not just here, but all over the world, to their own feats and money raising. It seemed to me, and I didn't know him, none of us really knew him, but from what we knew about him and his war record and what he then went on to do, that he knew what was important in life. He lived his life according to his principles and priorities, and he had long since, at his great age, sussed out exactly what that was. And that made him such an engaging human being. I can't help but think that in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, the verses we've just heard, we hear there about Jesus's clear set of priorities and the principles by which he lived his life on earth. And we see that in the different sections of the story, which we're going to look at very, very briefly. First of all, this lovely little story of the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus demonstrates his love and God's love for each one of us. He cares about us and brings healing to us. This was just one lady. We don't know anything really about her. We don't know her age. We don't know what was going on. But Jesus brings healing to Simon's mother-in-law, who was in bed with a fever. Luke 4, when Jesus sets out his manifesto in a synagogue in Nazareth. And in Mark 1, we see him fulfilling, doing what he already said he would do, proclaiming good news, healing the sick, setting the oppressed free. This was Jesus putting into practice what he'd already set out to do. And we see in this little cameo story, really, of Simon's mother-in-law, that God's love is personal and it's powerful. He cares about us. He's with us in whatever we're going through. But it's not just about us. And we see that in the second part of this story. Jesus's mission is bigger than simply meeting my needs or meeting your needs. And there's a hint of that here. Jesus healing many people that are brought to him, all who are ill and demon-possessed. There's a bit of hyperbole here, isn't there, from Mark? The whole town had turned out. The whole town was at the door. And Jesus healed people and was bringing peace to people's lives, people leading very, very troubled lives. But, you know, it's even bigger than that. The mission of God is to engage with the world. So let's inject a bit of honesty here. Let's make some guesstimates, shall we? Okay, we know that crowds followed Jesus, but probably only for about 3 years of his life. So if we say on average that Jesus met 1,000 people a week, it's quite some going, but let's say that he did. That works at around 150,000 people over the course of his healing ministry. So if we estimate, it was estimated around 1 million people living in first century Palestine, means that Jesus met 15% of the population. Let's assume for one moment that he healed every single one of those people. And that means that if he was healing from, say, 9 till 5, 7 days a week, no time off on Sundays, he heals on the Sabbath as well, he would have needed to heal 50 people every hour. Now, that makes NHS targets for GP consultancy seem very generous, doesn't it? And that's just 15% of all the people in Palestine. It's estimated in the first century there are about 50 million people living under the Roman Empire. And the Romans didn't rule all the world. There were around 200 million, something like that, people living at the time. So even healing at the rate of 50 people an hour, 8 hours a day, 365 days a year for 3 years, that means that Jesus didn't heal 99.9% of the people living in the world at that time. We mustn't think that Jesus is here simply to do our bidding. Yes, he was here to bring healing and peace to our lives. But there was another priority in his being here during that time, other than the universal healing of minds and bodies. God's purpose is healing, but it's healing in a much wider context. In Christ, God is reconciling the whole world to himself. That is, God is healing the whole of creation. And that's a purpose that still goes on today. Jesus came and he started it. It continues even now. Let's go on a little bit more into the story. Because very early the next morning, Jesus gets up while it was still dark and he goes to a desert place, a solitary place, and he begins to pray. Amidst all this hustle bustle, amidst all of the people demanding his attention, Jesus goes off to pray. Now, our experience of lockdown has been different, yours and mine. Some of us are working in key roles. We're rushed off our feet. Others of us are trying to work from home on the one hand and homeschooling children on the other. So many of us under such great pressure. Now, Jesus understands. He understands that. With demands on his time in this story, right, left and center, with hordes of people knocking on the door, expecting to be healed. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. He withdraws to spend valuable time that he could have been healing in prayer. Modern employers often talk about work-life balance. Jesus knew that the busier he was, the more he needed time with his Father. So the question for you perhaps, is how well balanced is your life between activity and reflection, between action and work and prayer? Jesus prioritized this healthy balance between action and prayer. You know, in lockdown, others of us have been facing long hours stuck indoors with nothing much productive to do, maybe experiencing isolation and loneliness, battling with minds that have too much time to think. What better opportunity might there be to take a leaf out of Jesus's book and devote ourselves to prayer? Most of us, many of us at least, find it really difficult to be alone, to be still, to be not distracted. But if Jesus prioritized time with his Father in that way, shouldn't we do it too? My personal experience is this: if I'm left too long with myself, I go haywire. I need Jesus. I need to spend time with my Heavenly Father. I find that I'd be going mad, quite literally, if it wasn't for that relationship that sustains and deals with my anxiety and my stress. Jesus knew he needed that time, and we need that time as well. And what happens next in the story? Well, the disciples turn up. They try to get him to go back to Capernaum to do more of the same, the healing that he started. But Jesus is adamant. It's already time to move on. The message and the work has got to go to other places. This is the bigger picture, the start of it all rippling out from that little area of Galilee to the whole world. And of course, Jesus himself didn't go to all the world. He sent us to all the world. Jesus has come to inaugurate the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom, to show what it's like, and to leave his Spirit to continue the work through those of us who follow him. It does make me wonder whether I would, or whether you would have had the courage to walk away from a project that's only just started and is flourishing. We prefer, don't we, to stick with what we know and what we know works. But God had other plans for Jesus. And perhaps it was his early morning prayer time in that deserted place that had something to do with Jesus knowing what his priority was and what he needed to do next. Perhaps if we spend enough time with God and truly listen, we'll learn what God really wants us to do and not make assumptions that it's what we're already doing. Sometimes we find our expectations of Jesus are different from his purpose for us. What is Jesus calling us to do? Where is he leading us? Jesus had clear priorities. What are your priorities for your life? What would be the title of the book of your life that points out what is really important? How much do you demonstrate what you really care about in your daily living? Now, coronavirus is a chapter in all of our stories. It's only one chapter, just one. Yes, for many of us, it is a painful chapter, but it's only one chapter and there's more to come. But this chapter isn't over yet, not quite. Maybe not for a while. We don't know. Maybe this is a time when God is calling us back to himself to recognize afresh the importance of spending time with our Heavenly Father in worship and in prayer. Ecclesiastes 3 says, well, quite a lot. There's a time for everything. It goes on to list lots of things. You probably know that passage. There's a time for everything, it says. Maybe it says there's a season for everything under heaven. A season for everything. A season for everything. If there's a season for everything, maybe this is our season for worship and prayer in the wilderness. And that's why we're going on starting next week and over Lent in the lead up to Easter. We don't know when we're going to be able to meet together physically to worship. I think it could be Easter. If we're fortunate, if things might come together, we perhaps will be there on Easter Sunday. Wouldn't that be great? But I don't think it's much before then. And I guess we'll still be socially distancing and wearing masks, maybe not be able to sing. How do we worship in this strange land? How do we find God? How do we spend time with him? We're going to be looking at this over the next few weeks. Worship in the wilderness. God is calling us to get our priorities straight and to match those of Jesus, to go out, yes, in his name, to bless, to work for him, but also to withdraw so that we know what God would have us do. Are you up for the challenge? Are you up for the journey? Join me in that, because it's going to be quite something, I believe. Let's pray together as we do this. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, this was an ordinary day in your life in Mark chapter 1, in which extraordinary things began to happen. A day when you set out what really, really matters. At Simon's house, you healed his mother-in-law. And you spent time eating and sharing with your friends. And later you showed compassion for the sick as you healed them. In the morning, you spent time on your own in prayer. You moved on to other places to tell them the good news. Lord Jesus, as we look at today, as we look at our week coming up, help us to see what your priorities are for us to bring healing, to spend time with others, even if only virtually, to pray and spend quality time with our Heavenly Father, and to share the good news of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.